Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Immediate Influence. This is your host, Ron Hudson. And, I am so excited to have Carol Dixon Carr with me tonight. She has written a couple of books, co-authored a couple of books. I'll have to just verify. Actually, it's one book. One is A Guide to Getting It, Purpose and Passion. And then she created a audio series called Master Your Time and Live Your Dreams, Conversations with Creatives and Coaches Who Get It Done. Since 1990, she has taught and trained men and women from ages 17 to 65 to understand and implement many important life strategies. From California to Florida to Texas, four-year community and business colleges alike, her goal has always been to have her students and program participants leave with practical skills they did not have before they experienced her program. Welcome, Carol. I'm so happy to have you.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I want to welcome Tanisha Thompson into the chat room and Sharon McPherson, who just joined us and
had
a guest join us.
Hi, ladies.
My excited girly voice.
Yeah, that was pretty high pitched there.
Yeah. That's my soprano,
well,
high girly voice.
I'm pretty excited about talking about this becoming more productive and profitable in our business and find out, you know, from you, tell me what would be the first step you would do with a client if you're sitting down. Let's just act as if you're sitting down with me and you're about to say, okay, you've already told me what you do and I'm interested, and what would be the first step?
I would actually have to find out where you are, because people come to me at different varying levels. A lot of times people might already have the systems in place, or they know what to do, but they're not doing it for whatever reason, or they might just have absolutely no clue where to start, or they might be in a situation where they have got that entrepreneurial overwhelm is what I call it. They're bombarded by all this information, especially on the internet, and they don't know where to start. So the first thing I would do is have a conversation with you to find out where you are. And from there, it might be that we might have to start, you know, at the foundational level. And I'm a huge fan of The Power of Full Engagement. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's an awesome book, because it looks at how you manage not time, but your energy. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual energy. And if none of those things are in place, then a lot of things fall apart, and they kind of depend on each other. So, no, I can tend to ramble on. You can interrupt me at any point if I get off.
Believe me, I will. In fact, let me interrupt you right now.
Okay, you do that.
And say hi to Dee. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you joined us. She's listening in as well as she's in the chat room. I see Wendy Y. Hey, Wendy. Welcome.
I feel supported.
What'd you say?
I said I feel so supported with the familiar quote-unquote faces in the room.
Oh, right, right, right. And then there's a few Blog Talk Radio guests in the chat room. If you'd like for me to, and usually I do, just as a courtesy, I'd like to actually welcome you by your first name at very minimum. So if you type your first name in the chat room, I will say hi to you. And also, Carol, I'm sure, will say hi as well. And Wendy is playing in the chat room right now. Okay, so you would find out where I am, what state I'm in as far as how I'm managing my time, what may be stopping me from really getting the best results out of the time that I have within an eight-hour period, you know, or however long I'm working, which I'm sure is something else you would evaluate is, you know, how long is it taking you to get tasks done? But you actually stated that you pull back from that and look at the focus of what they're doing and how it's, I think, more or less the energy that they're putting into it or the energy that they're bringing to it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was finished.
I was just going to say, because a lot of times people say they have time management issues and the hours are fixed. So it's not really what you do with the hours. It's what you do with your energy within the hours that you have. So if concentration is a problem, It might be because maybe you're not getting enough sleep, maybe you're not eating enough, or maybe you're eating the wrong stuff, or, you know, not paying attention to your body, and that can really affect the mental energy, the focus. If you have crazy makers in your life, that can affect your emotional energy. You need a support system. You need good relationships, and so on and so forth.
If you have what in your life?
I'm sorry?
If you have what in your life?
Oh, I call them crazy makers. Julia Cameron, the lady who wrote The Artist's Way, big fan of her. She's a creativity expert. She calls people who like drama crazy makers. And I have a few of those that I'm still, you know, I love these friends from afar, but fortunately the internet keeps us at a safe distance so I can choose when I want to participate, if I participate, just to be a supportive friend, but I can't get caught up in that drama like I used to.
Well,
so I'm sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, you don't. You're not interrupting me. Actually, you're cutting in and out. I think it's you're on a cell phone, aren't you?
No, I'm on a landline.
You are?
I am.
Wow, it's cutting in and out for some reason. I want to welcome D.S. Bullock as well as Bishop into the chat room. Thank you for joining us, as well as In This Together, which is a Blog Talk Radio username. Thank you for joining us. So let's say my energy is good and that I come to what I do with a passion. I'm focused on a specific outcome. I've sat down and I really know where I want to go. I know why I want to go there and that I have that the want to. You know, it's not just that I know where I want to go. I also know why I want to go there. And then I want to really, if that's where I am, where would you go from there? So basically, I kind of have it together, if you will.
Okay, so if you have it together, then it sounds like you might want to play bigger and get your message out maybe to more people without you having to be, Ron Hudson everywhere people are. You can leverage it into different media like video and audio and that kind of thing, and I would talk you into probably creating content and then leveraging that content into different media and then getting into the whole set it and forget it strategy so you can mainly leverage your time and have a more lifestyle situation where you're not coaching one-on-one, but maybe coaching one-on-many or having your programs coach for them, and then if they really want to work with you, they pay the big-ticket price, things like that.
Okay, so tell me, what would you, how would you really describe what it is that you do?
With somebody who's got it together? Or, like I said, this is
either,
a big umbrella.
Whether they have it together or not, how would you describe what it is that you do with your client?
Okay, you mean like the synopsis? Okay, well, usually it's... Okay, I don't know what that looks like, trying to put this all in a nice 140-character tweet, so to speak. No,
right.
That didn't happen.
It's not.
No,
it's
but
not
I'll give it a
happen.
Shot. It'll probably be more like a few tweets. Worth.
Okay.
No, usually the umbrella is usually just to show the entrepreneurs how to overcome their foundational challenges, if that applies, to moving forward. Because, you know, the deficiency in those four areas I mentioned in energy might be the deal. You know, sometimes there are fears, fatigue, overwhelm, lack of self-awareness, a toxic environment that get in the way of the productivity. But if they have it together, they might be blocked because maybe they're afraid to play bigger. We might have a conversation, a coaching conversation around getting around those blocks. But if they are raring and ready to go, then we will be getting into creating that product, getting the squeeze page created, getting the systems automated with one shopping cart, getting and if they wanted to be a do-it-yourselfer, we could get the cheaper tools that can get them together on that. I think the cheapest, greatest HTML editor that I've ever seen that's a WYSIWYG is PageBreeze. If you go to tucows, tucows.com, instead of having to invest in Dreamweaver, you can create a squeeze page pretty quickly to get people to opt in. We'd have your e-courses all set up, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that would just create the buzz. You don't even have to have the product ready necessarily, mm-hmm. but you can start creating buzz, and then we can see how because people learn in different media. Some people prefer the visual. They might want to see the Camtasia videos, or just actually using, if you're on a Mac, iMovie, or if you're on a PC, Windows Movie Maker. There are cheap ways to create products, Audacity for the audio, all kinds of cool tools that you don't need to spend a mint for. But I also have the higher end options if people, I don't use Audacity to do my audios. I use Adobe Audition because that it just is a time saver. It's a time saver. So things like that. So I just introduce them to the technology that they can use, and then because one size does not fit all, I walk them. Oh, I just kicked my daughter in the, I had no idea she was in here. I'm so sorry, sweetie. I lost my train of thought. I leverage the technology so that they can be all places, like omnipresent, and give them a step by step plan.
Right. So here's the way I would, just having heard what you have said thus far, what it all means to me is that you are good at helping people manage their lives. It's not just their business. It's literally looking at their lives looking at everything, as opposed to just, okay, I'm going to help you become more productive in your business. It sounds like you have the ability, if they're deficient in those four areas, to really help them hone their skills in managing those areas of their lives, which really affect everything, and then giving them, as it relates to their business, some technological tools to become more productive in their business, which obviously will affect their life, their personal, their personal or private life. So that's what came to me, is like a life management expert or something like that. That's pretty cool. I want to say hi to Stuart Tan. Welcome. Glad you joined us, Stuart. It's good to see you. I have the technology. Let's back up and talk about someone who they really have things out of sync. They have, for example, they have 20 projects, but the chances of them completing the 20 projects are slim to none because they're not really managing their time effectively to get those things done. And the reason that they're not managing those things effectively is that they don't recognize themselves that they're taking on too much.
You know what? You know, let me tell you a secret. You know why I got into this business? Because because I was that person at first. I had to find a way to get through that, because I have the Renaissance spirit that sometimes runs away, and I need to, and that's why I had to get my support team. And I have, all these mentors that I've hired over the years to get me focused, because the entrepreneurial spirit is a creative spirit. Would you agree?
Yeah. It is. It's part of it, certainly.
Yeah, so we've got all these scattered, unfocused ideas that probably the idea factory goes off in the middle of the night. The first thing we do is have a conversation about priorities, which ones connect to your top five values. And then, I've got 25 values. How do I? No, well, let's bring it down to your top 15. Okay, now if you had to get rid of, I think about Laurel Langliners, if you went to the Planet Zog and you only got to keep five values with you, what would they be? So we have a conversation about values and then how that would connect to their purpose, and then start from there. Then, of course, I get some resistance even then. Well, it all connects to my purpose. Start somewhere. If somebody were to coerce you, where would you, just out of the air, where would you start?
Uh-huh.
And we usually get somewhere. It usually takes more than one conversation, though. They usually have to go, they have to do some activities like journaling on what's coming up for them, mm-hmm. and then sharing, if they choose to, what came up for them. They sometimes share the journal. They'll email me what they wrote, but sometimes they'll just share what came up for them. And if they still haven't had a focus, then we have another activity that works them through the creative blocks of being too scattered, too unfocused. So the digital recorder comes in handy when I have them do that activity. Just ramble into the recorder if you don't want to journal. Things like that. So it's a process, and it takes longer for some than others, but we ultimately get somewhere, and sometimes we don't. And then I'm like, this is not a fit, and you shouldn't be spending your money with me. And I think I need to fire you as a client so you can save some money, because sometimes it just happens that way.
Yeah, I need to fire you.
Well, yeah, I mean, because then after a while, you're getting in it, your energy is zapped, and then, okay, I'm out of integrity because one of my, for my mental energy is, and I'm always trying to keep my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual energies on point so I can keep doing what I need to do.
I hear you. D.S. Bullock is that David Bullock?
Oh, is that my buddy David? Let me help over to the chat.
It is him. Hey, how are you doing? He's asking, what, fire a client?
I'm trying. You know, I don't have time to be working with people who've got my energy. So I will forego that income and hopefully open up space to attract the right one. That's how I feel about it.
So
and really,
what
really,
type of...
because I get tired. I mean, listen, I have a daughter. I have the choir. I have community service. I can't be, I teach, I adjunct at SMU. It's my more community service. I just don't have time.
Yeah, you have a lot going on. So how do you help them, help someone, how do you help someone to discover their values?
Well, that's another journal. What they can do is, what they'll do is they'll talk about things that gave them joy, and it'll be another, I'm such a fan of journal. The ritual of journaling is probably better than the price of admission of any really coaching, I have to say, but to define their values, a lot of times if they can't find them, and I ask them what's important, first I'll ask them what's important to them. What do they find, what's important to them? But sometimes it's not so obvious, and of course they will send me something that gave them great joy, and then they'll also do an activity where it just sucked the life out of them, and it felt like they were moving through molasses. And I pick out, and I look at themes, and it's usually a page for each. And I pick out themes, and then I ask, does that resonate with you? Does this not resonate with you? And then we usually come to a consensus. But a lot of times, some people, they usually know what's important to them. And a lot of times, the freedom, independence, and autonomy and creativity come into my spirit. And I'm like, ooh, the law of attraction, because some of that is one of my top five, too. And that's a beautiful thing when your values are in alignment with your clients. They don't always have to be, but it sure makes things a lot easier.
And say it again, what's one of your top five?
So, well, health is really the number one, because if you don't have your health, you don't have much. But
that's
creativity,
right.
Connection, autonomy, freedom,
uh-huh.
Financial independence.
That was good. That was really good. So once someone finds out what you help them find out what their values are, that in and of itself will release a lot of people from whatever may be hindering them from really
exactly.
accomplishing a lot in their business or in their lives, because when you don't know what's important to you and you just wake up and go about your day and just do whatever happens or whatever may be there for you to do, you can come to the end of the day and really feel like you didn't accomplish much. You know,
mm-hmm. I call that sock drawer syndrome. I learned that one from Michael Port. You can think you're really busy because you're arranging your sock drawer or cleaning out your closet, but really that's procrastination. That's what that is. It's procrastination. I'm like, all right, what are you resisting? What's going on here?
Sock drawer syndrome.
Sock drawer. Yeah, I'm going to go right into my sock drawer. I'm being productive because I'm cleaning out my sock drawer. That's procrastination. That's what that is.
Awesome. I'm hearing some things I haven't ever heard before, so it's pretty cool. So, all right, so you move me past, I have my value, you know what my values are from the, and well, first, let's back up. We know where my energy is, we know what I'm passionate about, you know what my values are, and then from there, what would be next?
Yeah, so, and are we operating under the assumption that you're good to go in terms of the four energies and your foundation set, and you just want to play bigger? Is that where we are?
Let's move to now I want to play bigger.
Okay, so then I would ask, because, you know, and I know you've heard this, and I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure. A lot of times when people want to play bigger, they want to command a higher fee, and every time you want to command a higher fee, you have to nichify yourself. Really nicheify yourself, get it really deep. And then, so what product would you like to create around that really, really specific niche? And then that's, of course, another exercise. And it's ironic because I was resisting that one myself.
Oh, really?
A lot of times we teach what we have to work through ourselves first. I'll say that and be transparent. But then we would have a conversation about what products we'd want to create so you can leverage yourself, and then have a conversation about mindset, your strategy, and your tactics on how to get it done.
Okay, okay. Real quick, Sharon McPherson has a question for you. She actually asked this question. How do you handle it if the crazy makers are members of your household?
Oh.
Kick them out. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and Wendy said I have to find a way to invite the in-home crazy makers to leave.
Uh-huh.
I leave the crazy makers at home. Yeah, I kept thinking Starbucks, bookstore. Sorry, I need to go shopping. A long extended shop. A lot of times you need to, you know, the whole spiritual play. Sometimes, and then this sounds kind of, I don't know, blunt and obnoxious, but sometimes if you take an extended stay in the bathroom, even if you're not handling your business in there, that's sometimes, I used to do that when Maya was colicky. I'd have to just give Daryl the baby, and I'm like, I got to go get some peace in the restroom. Sometimes it gets to that point, even if I'm not doing anything in there but just decompressing. But, again, leaving, being out in nature, going to a coffee shop, changing your environment. Changing your environment is a very important mood enhancer. So.
Oh, boy. So, okay. So
I can be
that's
black,
one option for you, Sharon, go in the bathroom, decompress. And so another option may be something I was just recently reviewing some topic of references, and this is related to neurolinguistics programming, in that we have this our map is what makes up our map are these internal filters, and part of that map is our references. Reference experiences is the best way to put it.
Yes, and reference. Mm-hmm.
And backing up even before those references happen, or as a result of those references, we have rules. And I'm going somewhere, so stay with me. The rules that we have in relationship to people have a lot to do with what we perceive as drama. Sometimes we may have to actually evaluate our own rules for what we consider drama, and sometimes we also have to help people understand or become very clear about our rules. And another way to describe this is boundaries. You know, I'm a firm believer in this. We teach people how to treat us. So if someone is not treating you the way you want to be treated, then my recommendation is always we need to sit down and really go over, here's what the boundaries are. You know, I want to have a great relationship with my family. So in order for me to do that, it's really important to sit down and say, well, here's what I like, here's what I don't like. And there are times when you're going to compromise on the dislikes and the likes. And sometimes it's, you know, there are things that you're not going to compromise on at all. But I would say that you know, I was listening or reading something a few years back about this little girl who was cleaning her room, and she kept the room just very clean, immaculate. And so her dad would come in. Her dad came in and he moved something, just one thing. He moved on her little dresser, and she said, "Daddy, you messed it up. You messed it all up." And basically, the story was relating is that this little girl had one way for everything to be messed up. It only took one thing to be moved for everything to be out of place. And so sometimes it's important for us to also just take a look at what are our own rules, what are our own boundaries, what are we allowing that's outside of our control. Does that make sense to everyone listening?
Oh, 100%. Holy
yeah,
man. Oh, yeah, because
saying,
I think about, and boundaries come into play with the life coaching. More of that comes into play more with the life coaching element, even though I do the business coaching. A lot of times it's a life coaching conversation about what are you tolerating and getting rid of all those tolerations. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I think we don't have the crazy maker situation in my house just because me and my husband are both MBTI, Myers-Briggs fans, and so we kind of ironed out those kinks before we got married. So it's pretty calm with the occasional disagreement here and there, but it's pretty calm, generally speaking. And if there is some raised voices, there's a lot of love behind it and a lot of apologies afterwards.
So,
the little diva that we're raising.
It's really important. Sharon, I believe that, hey, I got to let you know, sometimes I go in the bathroom, regardless of the fact that I have a multitude of skills and ability to turn something around.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to the bathroom, or I'm going to go to Starbucks, free commercial for them, right? I'm going
to
go out and just take a, you know, to catch my own breath because
mm-hmm.
I don't, so that this doesn't turn ugly, because I recognize that there are times when we are creating our own drama, but it has a lot to do with what we believe or what we perceive is going on. That is, and here's a great question to ask yourself, and this is something that I started asking myself when something has made me angry, and that is, what would I have to believe in order to feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
What would I have to believe in order to feel this way, and what automatically happens for me when I ask that question is it causes me to step back, metaphorically speaking. It causes me to step back and really look at, okay, what would I have to believe about what this person is doing in order for me to feel this way? And then as a result of asking that question, I could then say, well, wait a minute, what if what they are doing really does not mean what I think it means? Right, and if you continually ask yourself these questions, and this is really important, this is an extremely important little tidbit of information, and that is, these questions can become a part of your evaluating any situation, but only after you continually ask them, because the way we work as human beings, the way we are really wired to work is through repetition. It's doing something over and over and over again that eventually just becomes a part of you, and you start asking yourself these various types of questions on the other than conscious level. And in other words, it just becomes a part of who you are. It just becomes a part of how you evaluate what's going on around you. When somebody's doing something, instead of automatically getting angry and snapping, instead it becomes this, that's no longer the behavior that happens first. It's you've added this other option. You've become more, you have another option. You become more flexible. And
right.
Whoever is the most flexible in any situation has the most influence in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, gosh, we are peaching to the crab, bro.
Are there any questions? What are those questions again? Oh, okay. What would I have to believe in order to feel this way? Is the first question that I've asked myself. What would I have to believe in order to feel this way? And you can add within that, what would I have to believe about what this person is doing in order to feel this way? Because really, here's the fundamental principle of NLP is that we believe that the meaning of your communication is the response that you get. So if you say something to someone and they respond with anger, that is what that communication meant to them. Regardless of what your intentions were, that's what it meant to them.
Right.
So if they say, you made me angry, at that point, a very important question would be, what about my behavior made you angry?
Exactly.
That way you stay in rapport with them, because if you say, I can't make you angry, you in control of your own, so now I control you, a victim? What? You know, so you just stay away from that. Oh, my goodness, we're about to run out of time here. With 44 seconds remaining in the show, real quick, Carol, tell people how they can find you. We're going to continue a little bit after the live streaming portion goes off. But real quick, while we're still on the air, tell people how they can find you.
ManagingPersonalResources.com.
Say it one more time.
ManagingPersonalResources.com.
Okay, great. And so with 20 seconds remaining in the show, I want to say thank you for coming on the show. As I stated, Carol and I are going to stay on just a little bit longer. But everyone else, thank you for joining us. This is Ron Hudson and Carol. With your success in mind, thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Okay, so the show is no longer streaming live, but we are still being recorded so that anyone listening to the recording will hear what else we're talking about here. But what I was discussing is the importance of really asking those questions and asking them on a continual basis so that they become a part of how you are evaluating a situation. I went on to talk about how the meaning of our communication is the response that we get. So it's really, really important for us to recognize that even though our intentions may be good when we're communicating with someone, it may not. Depending on the response that we get, we didn't communicate it properly. You know what I mean? So that's why I started going down that path of really talking about this, you know, the crazy makers. You know, the meaning of our communication to them, if we're getting a particular response, it's good to ask, well, what about my behavior is causing you to feel that way? And then you can find out, well, what boundary, what rule am I breaking of yours? Because I don't want to do that. You know, I'd love to be in a position where I'm not breaking any rules to get into this drama with you. And then there are some people that are just, you know, it's going to take a lot more work than just asking them that question. And that sometimes it's going to take somebody really coming in and working with them because there are deeper issues that are causing them to be reactionary, you know, so reactive, so sensitive, and that has, you know, so there may be some underlying issues that it will be a good idea to seek out some professional help. And I'm not talking like a therapist, but a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
A coach can help with that.
Right.
So, all right. So the how did you, when I said life management, did that resonate at all with what, in terms of what
life mastery? Yeah, and actually that audio series where I did the conversations with those coaches, it was interesting what was revealed. I mean, first of it was, we thought it was going to be a time management thing, and then when I got to talking to these experts, it ended up being life mastery and life management and how you can move to the next level and think bigger in your business if that's what you choose. I was surprised how that emerged, so it's interesting that you would say that. And I did start off on the life side and the personal development side first, so.
Uh-huh.
That's probably why that stuff got spilled over into the more hardcore, how can I get some money for what I do once I finally do it kind of thing.
That's important.
Yeah.
It costs money to do things nowadays for some reason.
Imagine that.
Well, Carol, I appreciate you staying on for just a few more minutes with me. It was great. I'm glad that you accepted my invitation to come on the show.
My pleasure.
I enjoyed your energy and enjoyed hearing what it is that you do. And look forward to continuing to connect with you on Twitter and other places.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Awesome. So, you have any questions for me before we end the recorded version of the show, or the recorded portion of the show, I should say?
Nope, I think I'm good. And I actually want to return the favor and have you on my show and put that NLP expertise into how we can work my productivity talk show.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, just be ready to write out a big check.
Well, you can always just give them the teasers. You don't have to give away the farm. I tend to sometimes do that, so I had to consciously, you know, think, okay, don't give away the farm. So I've always just diarrhea of the mouth, I guess.
No, here's something that who was it? I believe it was Maria and I, which we were talking over the week, last week on Thursday, I believe it was Thursday afternoon. And we were talking about how